and head for their beds. But sleep deprivation doesn't just affect your ability to make rational decisions. The front part of your brain plays a key role in determining your level of willpower. When you're sleep-deprived, the low energy levels in this part of the brain can be especially damaging because it disrupts your sense of self-control and discipline. Several studies have revealed the damaging impact that this can have in the workplace. In one experiment, Michael Christian from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill examined the relationship between sleep deprivation and professionalism in hospitals. Christian asked a group of nurses to indicate how many hours they had slept the previous night and the degree to which they had engaged in various deviant behaviors during their last shift, such as intentionally working slowly, having inappropriate discussions about confidential information, and using illegal drugs on the ward. The nurses that had obtained less than 7 hours sleep engaged in significantly more unprofessional behavior. Another study carried out by Christopher Barnes from the Pamplin College of Business at Virginia Tech concentrated on cheating. Barnes asked a group of students to keep a sleep diary for a week and then take part in a trivia quiz. The students were given the opportunity to cheat by altering their answers, and so the researchers were able to discover whether less sleep resulted in more cheating. The later the students had gone to bed, the more they cheated. Finally, David Wagner from Singapore Management University examined whether sleep-deprived employees were especially likely to surf the internet for fun while they were at work, known in the trade as cyber-loafing. Wagner first fitted volunteers with special wristwatches that used accelerometers to measure how many minutes they slept during the night. The following day, the volunteers were asked to watch an important video lecture on their office computers. Unbeknown to them, the researchers secretly monitored the number of minutes each volunteer spent visiting entertainment websites instead of watching the video. The volunteers that had tossed and turned throughout the night were especially likely to cyberloaf the following day. The effect of such low self-control in the workplace is far from trivial, with sleep-related fatigue costing businesses an estimated $150 billion a year in lost productivity. Worse still, over the long haul, these effects can take a terrible toll on your brain. In one study, for example, Jane Ferry, a public health researcher at University College London Medical School, studied the lives and minds of more than 5,000 middle-aged volunteers over a 5-year period. In the late 1990s, all of the volunteers indicated the average amount of time they slept each night. 5 years later, they all reported the amount of sleep they were getting a second time, and also completed tests measuring their memory, vocabulary, and logical thinking. The results revealed that sleeping for less than 6 hours each night, or much more than 8, was associated with lower test scores. In addition, those volunteers who showed a significant decrease in their sleep over the 5-year period had especially low scores in logical thinking and vocabulary. Generally, our ability to remember information and think quickly both decline as we get older. Based on this work, researchers estimate that for middle-aged adults, sleeping less than 6 hours or more than 8 ages your brain by around 7 years. Sleep deprivation is wrecking our educational institutions, costing business billions, and prematurely aging our brains. Perhaps most worrying of all, it can kill you. The dangers of long sleep. The vast majority of research into sleep and well-being has examined the downside of not spending enough time in bed. However, other work has demonstrated that when it comes to sleep, as with so many things in life, it is also possible to have too much of a good thing. Several large-scale studies have shown that spending 9 or more hours asleep each night is associated with a range of medical conditions, including diabetes, obesity, headaches, cancer, and heart disease. In addition, some long sleepers suffer from a condition known as hypersomnia. As well as spending a lot of time in bed, they tend to be extremely sleepy during the day, do not feel any more alert after they've taken a nap, are highly anxious, feel constantly tired, and experience memory problems. Sleep follows the Goldilocks principle. In the same way that one bowl of porridge was too hot and another too cold, so it's possible to spend too long and too little in bed. For most people, about 8 hours of sleep each night is just right. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Starting in the mid-1980s, researchers from University College London spent 20 years examining the relationship between sleep patterns and life expectancy in more than 10,000 British civil servants. The results, published in 2007, revealed that participants who obtained 2 hours less sleep a night than they required nearly doubled their risk of death. In a similar study, another group of researchers analyzed data from more than 1 million Americans and found that getting less than 7 hours sleep each night was associated with an early demise. Further work has started to uncover why poor sleep kills. Some of this research has focused on the relationship between the sleep-inducing hormone melatonin and the circulatory system. Several studies have revealed that melatonin has several positive effects on the body, including lowering blood pressure and helping to prevent heart attacks and strokes. Sleep deprivation goes hand in hand with lower levels of melatonin production, and so increases the risk of these problems. The effects are far from trivial, with research published in the academic journal Sleep showing that the risk of high blood pressure was more than 3 times greater among those who sleep less than 6 hours per night, and that women who obtain less than 4 hours of sleep are twice as likely to die from heart disease. But melatonin doesn't just keep the blood running through your veins. It also limits the production of other hormones that are associated with various cancers. The impact of failing to produce these hormones can be dramatic, with large-scale studies showing that female shift workers, who frequently suffer from low melatonin levels, have a 60% increased risk of breast cancer and a 35% greater risk of colorectal cancer. Other work suggests that poor sleep is also related to the onset of diabetes, with research showing that people who sleep for less than 5 hours per night are more than 3 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. There is also the issue of obesity. More than 28% of American adults get less than 6 hours of sleep a night, and more than 35% of the population is obese. Strange as it may sound, the obesity epidemic may be fueled by both adults and children failing to get enough sleep. In 2005, British researchers published the results of a study that had tracked the sleeping habits and weight of more than 8,000 children from birth. The results revealed that those who slept for less than 10.5 hours each night when they were 3 years old had a 45% higher risk of being obese when aged 7. Similarly, in America, researchers monitored the sleep patterns and weight of more than 60,000 middle-aged American women for 16 years. Those getting 5 hours or less sleep each night were 15% more likely to become obese. In yet another study, researchers at Stanford University examined the relationship between people's sleeping habits and their weight. The data from more than 1,000 volunteers revealed that sleeping less than 8 hours a night was associated with obesity. Of course, many of these data patterns could be due to obese people struggling to sleep. However, Other research shows that a lack of sleep does indeed result in weight gain. Two hormones play key roles in regulating the amount of food you consume. One of them, known as ghrelin, is produced in your gastrointestinal tract and stimulates your appetite. The other, leptin, is created in fat cells and tells your brain that enough is enough. Researchers at the University of Chicago monitored the hormones and appetite levels of male volunteers after they had slept only 4 hours a night for 2 nights. Remarkably, the team discovered that this short-term sleep deprivation had a major impact on their hormones and resulted in a 28% increase in ghrelin and an 18% decrease in leptin. These changes stimulated the volunteers' appetites, but ensured that they didn't feel especially satisfied after they had eaten. As a result of this double hormonal whammy, the volunteers reported a 24% increase in appetite and were especially attracted to unhealthy, calorie-dense foods such as sweets, biscuits, and crisps. Neuroscientist Colin Chapman from Uppsala University in Sweden recently examined the impact of sleep deprivation on shopping habits. Chapman and his team recruited a group of healthy men and staged a 2-day study. During day one, the volunteers were asked to stay awake for a night, then go food shopping the following morning. On the second day, they were allowed to sleep as usual and then head off to the shops again. Before going shopping, each volunteer was given about £30, shown a list of 40 items, and asked to buy as many of the items as possible. Half of the items were junk food, and half were far healthier. When they were sleep deprived, the volunteers returned with significantly more junk food. Sleep deprivation isn't just bad for your brain, it can also ruin your waistline. Beauty sleep. Human skin looks smooth and firm because of a protein known as collagen. As you age, the amount of collagen in your body decreases, causing your skin to become wrinkled and saggy. Several nights of poor sleep causes your body to release a stress hormone called cortisol. This hormone prevents the production of collagen and so creates unhealthy-looking skin, fine lines, and dark circles under your eyes. These effects can take hold surprisingly quickly. In one study conducted at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, researchers photographed volunteers after they had just slept for 8 hours, and again after they'd been kept awake for 31 hours. Different volunteers were then shown the photographs and had to rate how healthy and attractive the individual looked. The photographs of the sleep-deprived volunteers were judged as less healthy and less attractive. Other work delved deeper into the effects, revealing that sleep deprivation resulted in redder eyes, an increase in dark circles under the eyes, paler skin, and more wrinkles. The message is clear. When it comes to poor sleep, the evidence is written all over your face. Getting up and feeling down. A lack of sleep doesn't just affect your physical health. It may also impact on your psychological well-being. Psychiatrists have long noticed that people suffering from a wide range of mental problems do not sleep well. For instance, around 90% of depressives report struggling to fall asleep or waking in the middle of the night. People with bipolar disorder experience episodes in which they are overly energetic and frenzied, referred to as mania, alternating with instances in which they feel down and depressed. Again, the disorder is associated with sleep problems, with those experiencing mania often getting only 3 hours of sleep per night, and some even going several days without sleeping. Schizophrenia can involve a range of symptoms including hallucinations, delusions, and confused thinking. There is a strong association with poor sleeping for this, too, with research showing that around 70% of those suffering from the disorder struggle to fall asleep, or sleep for an especially long time, and have irregular body clocks that are out of sync with daytime and nighttime. Finally, there is a curious association between sleep issues and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, in children. For many children, sleep deprivation does not cause lethargy, but instead promotes hyperactivity and unfocused thinking. There is now evidence from several studies showing that many children diagnosed with ADHD also suffer from a breathing-related sleep disorder known as sleep apnea. More about this in Lesson 4, and have low levels of deep sleep. Of course, correlation does not mean causation, and it's quite possible that a psychological disorder could cause a sleep problem rather than the other way around. To help resolve the complex relationship between sleep and mental health, several researchers have started to help sufferers get a better night's rest and then monitored the effects. The work uses a variety of techniques, including altering people's circadian rhythms by bright light phototherapy and taking melatonin supplements, and encouraging people to sleep by exercising during the day. Although only in its initial stages, the work has already yielded promising results. The interventions helped relieve symptoms of both depression and bipolar disorder. If valid, these findings suggest that sleep problems play a key role in causing various psychological disorders. Sleep, the ultimate detox? Keeping your brain in tip-top shape is a time-consuming and complicated business. Your brain cells continually produce a kind of toxic waste that, if allowed to build up, disrupts your thoughts, behavior, and mood. To avoid this happening, your body regularly flushes a special cleaning liquid called cerebrospinal fluid, CSF, through your brain tissue. CSF removes the unwanted waste and carries it down to your liver for detoxification. Neuroscientists from the University of Rochester Medical Center recently made a remarkable discovery about the role of sleep in this vital waste disposal process. The researchers took a group of mice. Mouse brains are remarkably similar to human brains. Placed a special fluorescent dye into the CSF and used a high-powered scanner to monitor the fluid when the animal was awake and asleep. When the mice nodded off, their brain cells shrunk and the space between the cells increased by around 60%. This allowed lots of the CSF to quickly flow through the brain and wash away the toxins in a highly efficient way. This groundbreaking work suggests that when you fall asleep, your brain becomes far more efficient at removing the unwanted toxins that build up during the day. On the flip side, if you fail to get enough sleep, these toxins remain in your brain, causing you to feel foggy-headed and irritable. Time for a test. Many people think that not getting a good night's sleep makes them grumpy. In reality, the effects of sleep deprivation are far more damaging. Even small amounts of sleep deprivation play havoc with your brain. It may make you accident-prone or drive dangerously or be unproductive. A lack of sleep is also affecting our nation's youngest minds, causing them to struggle in school and fail at college. Over time, it can even prematurely age your brain. Perhaps most important of all, sleep deprivation is bad for your health. As we've seen, poor quality sleep dramatically increases the chances of you suffering from high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes, and obesity. The problem is especially pernicious because, unlike many other psychological and physical problems, It is easy to struggle through your life without realizing the full extent of the deprivation. In fact, you may be sleep-deprived right now, without even realizing. Which leads us to one important question. Are you getting enough high-quality sleep? Over the years, sleep scientists have devised various questionnaires for measuring both the quality and quantity of your sleep. In fact, you completed one of them just before the start of this lesson. Take a look at your responses. To score the questionnaire, simply add up the numbers corresponding to the answers that you gave, assuming that you didn't nod off halfway through. A score of 17 or below suggests that you're experiencing poor quality sleep. If you did obtain a low score, then you are not alone. When I asked 3,000 people to complete this questionnaire, a remarkable 20% of respondents fell into this category. If you scored between 18 and 26, then this suggests that the quality of your sleep is middling. But does that mean that you can rest on your laurels? Absolutely not. When I looked at the data from the questionnaire, I realized that only about 10% of people obtain a score of 27 or more. These super sleepers are quite remarkable. They enjoy a good night's sleep almost every night of their lives, are able to fall asleep whenever they want, wake up feeling refreshed, and have lots of sweet dreams. This impressive ability to make the most of the night results in them being especially happy, successful, and healthy. Compared to those obtaining middling scores, these super sleepers are about 25% happier, 30% more able to achieve their goals, such as losing weight and stopping smoking, and 40% less stressed. If you obtained a middling score on the questionnaire, then you are just a short hop and a jump away from becoming a super sleeper. I believe that everyone has the ability to make the most of the missing third of their life. Some can move from being a poor to a good sleeper, and others can go from good to great. All you have to do is understand the science of sleep and dreaming, and discover how best to apply it to your life. In the next night school lesson, we will be taking the first step on that all-important journey. Meanwhile, sleep well. Assignment. What does your sleeping position reveal about you? The king sleeps on his back, the sage on his side, and the rich man on his belly. Old proverb. Please take a few moments to answer the following question. Which of these options best describes the most comfortable position for you when you fall asleep? 1. Full fetal. You lie on your side with your body almost completely curled up. Your legs are flexed at the knees and your knees are drawn up towards your chin. Often your entire body will be rolled into a ball and may curve around an object, such as a pillow. 2. Semi-fetal. You lie on your side with your knees drawn partway up. 3. Royal. You lie on your back. 4. Prone. You lie face down on your bed, often with your arms over your head and legs stretched out, with the feet somewhat apart. In the late 1970s, psychiatrist Samuel Dunkel presented the world with a new and exciting theory of personality. In his groundbreaking book, Sleep Positions: The Night Language of the Body, Dunkel argued that it was possible to gain a genuine insight into a person's psyche on the basis of their preferred sleeping position. Many of Dunkel's wilder assertions are fun to mention at parties. For example, people who spend the night with their legs crossed at the ankle apparently struggle with relationships. Those adopting the flamingo pose are allegedly passive-aggressive. And those who place their hands behind their head and point their elbows up towards the ceiling seem to enjoy a good argument. Dunkel also argued that those who exhibit the rarely seen clam position are self-absorbed, while people sleeping in the sphinx position are especially strong-willed, and, I suspect, also suffer from intense lower back pain. Over the years, several skeptical academics have examined whether Dunkel's general thesis holds water. Some of the initial work investigated whether people even have a preferred sleeping position, and involved researchers asking people to repeatedly report how they laid in bed over a 6-month period. The results revealed that the vast majority of them did indeed have a stable preference, and tended to adopt one of the 4 positions shown in the previous questionnaire. Excited by these findings, other scientists systematically investigated whether these positions were associated with certain types of personality. To the surprise of many skeptics, the results revealed the following associations. Full fetal. People adopting this position tend to be anxious, emotional, indecisive, and overly sensitive to criticism. Dunkel interpreted the closed nature of this position as indicative of a person who does not want to open themselves up to life. Semi-fetal. This position is associated with people who are well-adjusted, conciliatory in nature, amenable to compromises, and unlikely to take extreme stances. Royal. This sleeping position is associated with being self-confident, open, expansive, and sensation-seeking. Prone. Those sleeping face down tend to show a tendency for rigidity and perfectionism. Dunkel thought that these sleepers disliked the unexpected, demand strong evidence for any assertion, and always arrive on time for meetings. The research also showed that those who have no preferred sleeping position have a strong need for being active, enjoy challenging work, and find it difficult to relax. However, please don't be too upset or worried if your sleeping position suggests that you have a less than perfect personality. The associations between people's sleeping positions and their personalities are fairly weak, and many scientists would take them with a pinch of salt. I suspect that this is especially true of those researchers who tend to sleep in a prone position. Lesson 3. The Secret of Supersleep, where we find out the truth about short sleep, discover how to get the best night's sleep of your life, and learn how to sleep like a baby. In the previous lesson, we found out how 24-hour media, increased workloads, and constant access to the web have resulted in a world that rarely sleeps. This chronic lack of rest is playing havoc with our minds and bodies. Fatigue is responsible for thousands of road accidents each year, costs businesses billions in lost productivity, and increases the risk of obesity, diabetes, and death. Because of this, there is now a pressing need for everyone to get their full quota of sleep each night. Even if you don't have a sleep problem, improving the quantity and quality of your sleep can radically change your life. As we saw in the last lesson, research has revealed the existence of super sleepers. People who can fall asleep whenever they want, enjoy the most pleasant of dreams, wake up feeling totally refreshed, and are especially happy, productive, successful, and healthy. I believe that almost everyone can make the most of the night by learning to become a super sleeper. Many people react to this information in one of 2 ways. Some wonder if they can cheat sleep by staying fully functional but spending a small amount of time in bed. Others become eager to improve both the quantity and the quality of their sleep. In this lesson, we're going to tackle both of these issues. In the first part, you will discover whether there really are ways of thriving on a small amount of sleep. And in the second part, you will find out how to get the best night's sleep you have ever had. We begin by playing chess with death. Life on the Ocean Waves. At the start of Ingmar Bergman's classic film The Seventh Seal, a knight is visited by a pale-faced figure wearing a black cowl. The figure mournfully explains that he is death, and that he has come to take the knight's life. Understandably, the knight is less than delighted at the news and challenges death to a chess match in an attempt to avoid his demise. Over the years, some people have taken a similarly sly approach to the knight and tried to figure out ways of avoiding spending a third of each day sleeping. Perhaps the best known of these, "we can all survive on very little sleep" theories, revolves around research conducted by top sleep scientist and highly experienced yachtsman Claudio Stumpy. Attempting to single-handedly sail across the world's oceans requires very high levels of vigilance, and even the smallest amount of ill-timed sleep can have disastrous consequences. In 1982, for example, solo sailor Desmond Hampton chartered Sir Francis Chichester's last yacht, Gypsy Moth 5, to compete in an around-the-world race. During the race, Hampton became exhausted, went below deck to grab an hour's rest, but promptly overslept. The Gypsy Moth 5 eventually wedged itself into rocks just off Australia's southeastern coast and was wrecked. Similarly, in 1994, French soloist Jean-Luc Vandenheide put his head down for a 5-minute nap during another global race and woke up 30 minutes later to discover that his craft had run aground. Stumpy wondered whether his knowledge of sleep science could help competitors remain awake for long periods of time, but nevertheless feel well-rested and alert. As we discovered in Lesson 1, research into circadian rhythms suggests that humans have developed to take most of their sleep at night, with potential for a short nap during the afternoon, a pattern that sleep scientists refer to as biphasic. This is unusual in the animal kingdom, as many other creatures take lots of short naps throughout the day. Most biologists believe that this more scattergun approach to sleep, known as polyphasic sleeping, developed because animals frequently face an energy crisis. In order to survive, they have to run around, eating food and avoiding enemies. Unfortunately, this high-octane lifestyle consumes lots of energy, forcing them to take frequent naps throughout the day to recharge their batteries. Stumpy realized that polyphasic sleep would be perfect for his long-distance sailing chums, and began working with yachtsmen to discover if they could remain healthy and alert on this strange schedule. In perhaps his most famous project, he helped British sailing star Ellen MacArthur attempt to sail single-handed around the globe. Before the race, Stumpy monitored MacArthur's sleeping habits and worked out an optimal sleep schedule. During her epic journey, MacArthur then wore a small watch-like device on her arm. This device constantly monitored her movements and skin temperature, and then beamed this information back to Stumpy's Boston-based Chronobiology Research Institute. This data revealed that MacArthur took almost 900 naps during her voyage, with each sleep lasting an average of only 36 minutes. This remarkable schedule paid off, with MacArthur sailing around the world in 71 days and 14 hours, and so breaking the former record by an amazing 32 hours. Stumpy's research proved that it is indeed possible for humans to survive on polyphasic sleep for a few months. But could this strange form of multi-napping become a way of life? In the 1950s, Italian artist and actor Giancarlo Sbaraglia heard that Leonardo da Vinci was amazingly productive, in part, because he slept for 15 minutes every 4 hours, and in doing so gained an additional 6 hours of working time each day. Spragia reasoned that if this polyphasic sleep schedule were good enough for one of the world's greatest artists, it was good enough for him, and decided to give it a whirl. Spragia initially struggled to keep his eyes open, but after a couple of weeks he was able to get through the day by taking 15-minute naps, 6 times a day. Initially, the punishing schedule gave him more time to indulge his artistic passions, and all seemed well. However, as the months rolled on, Spragia ran out of activities to fill his time, and this, coupled with the lack of around-the-clock company, led to feelings of intense loneliness. Sadly, he slowly came to the painful realization that his lack of Leonardo-like fame was not due to there only being so many hours in the day, but rather a more general deficiency in the genius department. He eventually abandoned the experiment after just 6 months. Spragia is not the only one to have tried, and failed, to live life on polyphasic sleep. Search the internet and you will see several reports of people experimenting with all sorts of scientific-sounding polyphasic sleep schedules, including the Everyman, 4.5 hours of sleep at night, plus 2 20-minute naps during the day. The Dymaxion, 4 30-minute naps every 6 hours. And the Uberman, 6 20-minute naps every 4 hours. These experiments nearly always follow the same pattern. For a few weeks, life is very tough, but eventually the person gets used to the schedule and begins to enjoy the novelty of the experience. However, as the months go by, they slowly start to exhibit various forms of sleep deprivation, find the schedule tricky to maintain in the face of work commitments and social life, and are glad to return to their old sleeping habits. Stumpy's work is fascinating, and shows that humans are able to maintain polyphasic sleep schedules for a relatively short period of time. However, time and again, research has shown that this schedule isn't a replacement for a good night's sleep, and can't be maintained over the long haul. Is this failure the final nail in the coffin of short sleep? Actually, no. Enter psychologist and radical sleep scientist Ray Medis. Short sleep. In the 1970s, psychologist Ray Medis came up with a radically new theory of sleep. According to Medis, sleep evolved to help animals remain inert and inconspicuous when they are most at risk from predators. By lying totally still in the dark, a sleeping animal is far less likely to be attacked than their "it's dark outside and I am going out for a wander, I mean what's the worst that could happen" counterparts. For Medis, sleep has very little to do with keeping the brain and body refreshed, and is instead all about staying alive. Perhaps most contentious of all, he also argued that for most people, sleep now serves no real purpose because the chances of them being attacked by a tiger in the middle of the night are at best slim. Medis's theory predicted that it should be possible for humans to live life to the full on very little sleep. To investigate, he set off in search of people who felt fine despite spending very little time in bed. Throughout history, many famous figures have claimed that they are fully functional despite only sleeping for a few hours each night. However, dig a little deeper and you will quickly discover that some of these claimants are being a tad economical with the truth. For instance, the world-famous inventor of the electric light bulb, Thomas Edison, repeatedly told journalists that he only required a few hours of sleep each day, and once proudly declared, "I have never found need of more than 4 or 5 hours sleep in the 24. I never dream. It's real sleep." However, Edison's biographers have discovered that the great inventor enjoyed more than his fair share of sleep. Edison had beds installed in his office and library, as well as several other rooms across his property. The great inventor would frequently lie down and nap, resulting in him obtaining far more than 4 or 5 hours of sleep each day. Wary of the possible apocryphal nature of historical reports, Medis spent several years trying to track down people who were happy and healthy, but yet required very little sleep each night. Requests in newspapers and on television produced lots of potential leads, but many of the respondents were either suffering from insomnia, in which case they weren't especially happy and healthy, or kidding themselves. In one instance, Medis was contacted by a middle-aged man who claimed that he hadn't slept a wink since he was 15 years old. When the man was brought into the laboratory, he slept like a baby for almost 6 hours. After years of searching, one of Medis's friends introduced him to an energetic 70-year-old retired nurse who claimed to sleep for less than an hour a night. Intrigued, Medis and his colleagues decided to put this remarkable claim to the test. To preserve the woman's anonymity, the team only ever referred to their participant as the mysterious Miss M in their scientific papers. The researchers began by trying to monitor Miss M for a few days to find out whether she really did get by on very little sleep. On the first night, they invited her to their sleep laboratory in the hope of connecting her to an EEG machine. Unfortunately, the team had underestimated the curiosity and drive of their elderly participant. Fascinated by the high-tech equipment and delighted with her newfound companions, Miss M refused to go to sleep and merrily chatted the night away. When the morning rolled around, the researchers were shattered and so had to take turns observing her throughout the following day. Once again, Miss M was more than happy to chat and spent another 24 hours wide awake. On the third night, the researchers finally persuaded Miss M to go to bed. She slept for just 1.5 hours before getting up and continuing to chat. Fascinated with these initial results, Medis extended his around-the-clock surveillance of Miss M for another week. During the day, groups of mature girl students carefully observed her as she went about her daily business, and each night the energetic 70-year-old spent time at the sleep laboratory. The results revealed that Miss M was indeed a genuine short sleeper, averaging just over an hour of sleep each day. Delighted to find the real deal, the researchers examined Miss M's EEG records in the hope of discovering why she was able to survive without sleep. Unfortunately, the EEG data proved of little use, and just confirmed that her sleep contained the same percentage of NREM and REM episodes as those spending 8 hours a night in bed. Over the years, researchers have examined the brains, bodies, and lives of other people who spent very little time in their bed. Some of the most recent work has shown that they tend to be a highly energetic group, with a surprisingly large percentage enjoying careers as high-achieving CEOs and entrepreneurs. Some of the most interesting work into the topic has been carried out by geneticists from the University of California. In 2009, the researchers noticed something very odd when they were examining the DNA in blood samples from volunteers who had participated in a series of sleep studies. Rather unusually, two of the samples had abnormal copies of a gene called DEC2, DEC2, which is known to affect people's sleep schedules. Curious, the researchers tracked down the participants and were amazed to discover that the samples came from a mother and daughter who were both short sleepers. Not only that, but when the other scientists bred mice with the same genetic mutation, the animals slept less and showed very few signs of sleep deprivation. This work strongly suggests that the ability to spend the vast majority of each day wide awake is due to an unusual genetic anomaly, explaining why it usually starts in childhood and runs in families. As a result, in the same way that people with black hair cannot train themselves to become blonde, so the vast majority of the population will never be able to learn how to fully function on just a few hours of sleep each night. The conclusion from research into polyphasic sleep and short sleepers is clear. When it comes to sleep, there are no quick fixes. As a result, it is vital that everyone knows how to get a good night's rest. Luckily, several sleep scientists have dedicated their careers to finding out the best ways of getting to sleep and staying asleep. And that's where we are heading next. How much sleep do you need? According to textbooks, most adults need to sleep for between 7 and 8 hours a day to remain fully functional. As a rule of thumb, it isn't a bad estimate. However, everyone also varies in exactly how much sleep they actually require. The good news is that scientists have created several procedures to determine how much sleep you need each night. Here are two of the simplest. The wake-up call. This exercise takes about 2 weeks. First, choose a convenient time to wake up each morning. You are free to choose any time at all, but ensure that you are unlikely to get woken up earlier, and that you are happy to wake up at your chosen time during the week and at weekends. Second, wake up and force yourself out of bed at your chosen time each day, even if it means putting your alarm clock on the other side of your room. Finally, only head to bed each night when you actually feel tired. Don't force yourself to go to bed if you are not tired. And don't stay up if you feel sleepy. After a couple of weeks, your body will learn that it has to get up at your chosen time in the morning and will adjust your level of nighttime tiredness to ensure that you get the sleep you require. The number of hours that you spend in bed is the amount of sleep you need. Running free. This requires more effort than the first procedure and involves a process known as free running. You will need to find a week that you can dedicate to sleeping, and so it might be best to carry out the exercise when you have some time off work. Turn off your alarm clock, choose a typical bedtime, and allow yourself the luxury of sleeping as long as you want. After a day or two, you will have paid off your sleep debt, and you will start to wake up at roughly the same time each day. The average number of hours between when you fall asleep and when you are waking up is the amount of sleep that you require each day. People are often stunned when they carry out these simple procedures and suddenly realize just how much sleep they're missing every night of their lives. Super sleep. That most talented teller of tales, Charles Dickens, was obsessed with trying to get a good night's sleep throughout his entire life. The great writer tried an endless array of techniques, including ensuring that he was lying in the exact center of any mattress, and that the bed was pointing towards the north. Not surprisingly, these strange procedures proved of little use, resulting in Dickens staying awake for hours on end and often going for long nighttime walks around the streets of London. Dickens was not the only Victorian to experiment with rather unusual ways of trying to get a good night's sleep. In the late 19th century, small magnets, referred to as lodestones, were frequently sewn into pillows in an attempt to calm sleeping minds. More radical cures involved placing a large number of pillows under people's feet, or having them spend the night on a top-heavy sleep boat that would constantly rock them up and down. This latter approach apparently resulted in a ghastly form of seasickness that on the upside made people's insomnia seem relatively trivial. Other techniques were just downright bizarre, with, for instance, an 1894 edition of the British Medical Journal describing some extremely odd recommendations. Soap your head with the ordinary yellow soap. Rub it into the roots of the hair until your head is just lather all over. Tie it up in a napkin. Go to bed and wash it out in the morning. Do this for a fortnight. It would be nice to think that these types of strange and pseudo-scientific approaches to sleep have been consigned to the history books. Unfortunately, that is not the case. Search the internet and you will find endless, scientifically proven ways of improving your sleep. From drinking milk to warm baths, smelling lavender to counting sheep, and eating cheese to doing press-ups, every sleep guru has their own top tips. But what really works? In Lesson 2, I described how my research had uncovered a group of people that I referred to as super sleepers. These people enjoy a good night's sleep almost every night of their lives, and nearly always wake up feeling completely refreshed. This impressive ability to make the most of the night results in them being especially happy, successful, productive, and healthy. To find out the secret of a great night's sleep, I surveyed the super sleepers involved in my research, and then combined my findings with decades of work from sleep scientists from around the world. The results revealed that a great night's sleep comes down to the following simple suggestions and techniques in 5 key areas. These techniques can be used by those who struggle to sleep, and those who do not have a problem per se, but simply wish to enjoy higher quality sleep. Let's work our way through the suggestions and discover how to craft the perfect night in. Note: this advice is designed to illustrate techniques used by health professionals. If you believe that you or your child have a psychological problem, please consult a professional. 1. Create your own bat cave. Bats sleep for around 16 hours a day. In order to achieve this remarkable amount of shut-eye, they live in secure caves away from potential predators. It's important to produce your own bat cave by creating a nice, quiet, dark place that helps you sleep at night. This may sound somewhat obvious, but as the French philosopher Voltaire once famously pointed out, the main problem with common sense is that it is not so common. Here is a guide to creating the perfect space for sleeping. Embrace the darkness. As we discovered in Lesson 1, your brain produces less of the sleep-inducing hormone, melatonin, when your eyes are exposed to light. It's easy to underestimate the powerful effect that light can have on your brain during the evening, with research showing that being exposed to just 1 hour of moderately bright light at night reduces the amount of melatonin in your brain to daytime levels. As a result, it's important to ensure that you use ambient lighting in your living room and bedroom, and do not suddenly turn on any especially bright lights in your bathroom before you head to bed. Finally, ensure that your bedroom is as dark as possible. Some people use heavy curtains, while others invest in eye masks. Either way, ensure that daylight is an unwelcome guest. Although any type of light stops you feeling sleepy, research has shown that light towards the blue end of the spectrum is especially effective at keeping you awake. Unfortunately, computer screens, tablets, smartphones, flat-screen television, and LED lighting all emit large amounts of blue light. There are various measures that you can take to limit your exposure to blue light in the few hours before you go to bed. If you must use your smartphone, tablet, or computer late in the evening, try turning down the brightness, ensuring that the device is at least 12 inches from your eyes, and consider using an app that dims the lighting on your screen at night. Consider wearing a pair of amber-tinted glasses that are designed to block blue light. Although you might look a tad strange, research shows that this type of eyewear is highly effective at improving sleep quality and mood. If you want to use a nightlight, choose one with a dim red bulb. Red light tends not to suppress the production of melatonin, and so will help make you feel sleepy. The sound of silence. When you sleep, your unconscious brain is still listening out for any sounds that signal danger, such as late-night revelers, sirens, or even a door creaking open. Men and women are sensitive to different kinds of sounds when they sleep, with some research showing that women are listening out for crying babies, dripping taps and rowdiness, while men are more attuned to car alarms, howling wind, and buzzing flies. In other noise-related news, Dutch researchers Henk Miedema and Henk Vos turned their attention to trains, planes, and automobiles. The two Henks analyzed data from more than 20,000 people to discover the types of transport-related noise that is most likely to disrupt sleep. After controlling for the volume of the noise, the team discovered that aircraft are more disruptive than cars, that cars are worse than trains. However, if you do live on a flight path, by a busy road or railway, help is at hand. Other research has shown that playing the sound of waves crashing on a beach, or white noise, the noise that you hear when you have a radio tuned between stations, helps cover up these disturbances and aids sleep. The heat is off. It is important to ensure that your room is not too hot or too cold. If your sleeping environment is overly warm, then you will quickly start to feel as if you are overheating, while a cold room can keep you awake all night. Most sleep scientists recommend that your bedroom is just over 18 degrees centigrade, 65 degrees Fahrenheit, and about 65% humidity. Covered with a normal amount of bedclothes, your body remains thermally neutral at this temperature, so you don't have to create heat by shivering or cool down by sweating. Temperature control might be especially important for insomniacs because they tend to have a warmer core body temperature than others. Finally, beware the curse of cold feet. Blood flow distributes heat throughout your body, and if you have bad circulation, your extremities will get cold and cause sleeplessness. If this is the case, wear a pair of warm socks to bed. As the English writer William Hone noted in 1841, never go to bed with cold feet or a cold heart. Safe and sound. Think about how secure you feel when you sleep. Deep-seated fears about being attacked, injured, or even killed during the night can play havoc with your unconscious mind. Consider ways of alleviating these worries by, for instance, fitting an especially secure door or window locks, or installing a new smoke detector or burglar alarm. Think bedroom, think sleep. It is important to associate your bedroom with sleep. As a result, many sleep scientists recommend that you only sleep and have sex in your bedroom, although presumably not at the same time. And try to avoid working, surfing the web, or watching television in there. Consider banishing anything such as televisions, desks, or computers that are encouraging you to associate the room with anything other than the two S's. 2. What to do during the day. Sleep is not only about what happens at night. Super sleepers said often that many of their daytime activities were designed to help them nod off at night. Think about incorporating the following ideas into your daytime routine. Don't overnap. If you are struggling to sleep at night, it could be that you simply aren't very tired. Might you be spending too long napping during the day? Your circadian rhythm encourages you to take one 20-minute nap towards the middle of the afternoon. If you are napping for longer than that, think about cutting down. Let's get physical. Researchers have carried out hundreds of studies examining whether people that exercise during the day sleep especially well at night. In 2010, Matthew Buman from the Stanford University School of Medicine reviewed these experiments and concluded that certain types of exercise do indeed promote sleep. However, to help ensure that you maximize your chances of nodding off at night, you need to carry out at least 2.5 hours of moderate aerobic activity or at least 1.25 hours of more vigorous exercise each week. The studies also showed that working out around 6 hours before your bedtime was especially good, in part because exercise can make you all hot and sweaty and you need time to cool down before heading to bed. Finally, don't worry if you don't enjoy